Welcome back into the La Crosse Tribune UBL Football Podcast. My name is Colton Bartholomew, your Tribune beat reporter for UBL Football and all of college sports. We are here getting ready for a Week 8 matchup. La Crosse coming into this game is 4-2, 2-2 in the WIC. They are playing Platteville at 1 o'clock on Saturday. Platteville has an identical record, 4-2, 2-2. And it's going to be a good game. This will be a little bit of a shorter podcast, and we'll get into some of that. Kind of a busy week here at the Tribune. Sorry for the late post, putting this up probably late Thursday night. Get to your iPods or your phones and anything Thursday night, Friday morning. Take you behind the curtain a little bit here. We've got high school football playoffs, winter sports starting up, the postseason for soccer, volleyball, all type of stuff. So we're pulling a lot of different directions here this week. And like I said, winter sports starting up, so all the great basketball that's here in the Cooley region. And then also the World Series. And I'm a Boston fan. Just I've got extended family out there. Just always through them and the connections I have, the Red Sox always have kind of just been part of growing up watching baseball for me. And this week's been very kind to me. The Dodgers stink. That's my hot take for this series. The Dodgers stink. I'm so glad that they somehow beat the Brewers, because I was actually scared of the Brewers, and that team probably would have beaten Boston or at least given them a longer series. I think Boston's sweeping the Dodgers. The Dodgers stink. But anyways, back to UWL football. Let's jump into the show here. Quick show rundown. We're going to break down some matchups for Saturday's game. I kind of narrowed it down to three key matchups that I think if La Crosse wins those matchups, that's going to be kind of the deciding factor in this game. Little record watch for UWL. Their kick return man, Jake Simunchak, he is having a great season, historically great season if it continues on the pace that he's at. We'll get into that stuff. And then also I'll tell you about the homecoming events that UWL has planned for this weekend, presented by Quick Trip. Got some good stuff going on there. So let's jump right into the key matchups for this game. Now, to understand the situation UWL is looking at here, Platteville is a beat up and right now an embarrassed football team. Last week they got housed, and I mean housed, by Eau Claire. It was 40-19. Everything went the other team's way. They gave up 7 turnovers, one of them being a blocked punt for a touchdown that counts as a fumble. They had a pick six. They threw three other interceptions. Just a miserable day for them. And that was at home. And Platteville does get a pretty good crowd. So just a rough day for the Pioneers last week. And they're going to come in hot. Mike Emmendorfer, the coach down there for 19 years. I played for him the 2 years that I played college football. He's a guy that when you come off a loss, they bring a lot of energy that next week of practice, and historically they're pretty good coming off losses, especially those last few years where they've been a much better team, much more talented. So that's kind of what UWL is facing this week. So I think the first matchup that you've got to look at is Platteville's two top wide receivers, Tim Jansen and Donald Allender, against UWL secondary. Now, Mark Johnson, one of the best players in the conference, and UW Platteville's top receiver, got hurt last week against Eau Claire. That was part of the downfall in the second half, because they were in the game until early in the fourth quarter when everything kind of snowballed on them. But Mark Johnson goes down, isn't able to come back. He's not listed on the two deeps this week. It sounds like it was a pretty severe knee injury for him, which is unfortunate because, like I said, one of the top players in the conference. But he won't be playing, so it's going to come down to Tim Jansen and Donald Allender for Platteville against La Crosse's secondary. Now, Jansen's kind of a speedier guy, about 6 foot, 6 foot one. And then Allender is a rare giant that plays football here in the WIC. 6 foot seven, a tough physical matchup, even if he just goes 5 yards downfield and turns around. That's a tough one for a corner to defend, because he can just stick his arms up and essentially be open above his helmet. So the issue is going to be for Platteville, can those guys pick up the slack? It's a huge size disparity for La Crosse's corners. Colton Neiman, who we saw come back from injury, play against Oshkosh, play well against Oshkosh. And then Max Brower as well on the other side of the field. How are they going to handle that size disparity that they have? They've done a pretty good job of it throughout the season. They've played some big receivers, and no one receiver has done a ton of damage. I guess you could say maybe a JT Parrish, but he's a speedier guy. He did a couple of crossing routes that caught some big plays, and then there was one guy from Dickinson State, but that was the same type of situation where a speedier guy got away from man coverage and on a crossing route, stuff like that. But two interesting battles here that we're going to see throughout the game. I do think that talking to Mike Schmidt, he mentioned a lot the physicality UWL's defensive backs need to bring to the game. That's always kind of a key for them. They're always going to be a physical man-to-man team. They're kind of challenging the quarterbacks and the wide receivers to make those plays and get themselves open. But what I think UWL's defensive backs have to do is press those guys at the line of scrimmage and just make sure that nothing's easy. If they're going to get downfield, like Jansen on a speed route or a couple of slants or what ends up being, make it hard. Make it tough to get to the spot that they know that the quarterback wants them to get to. And I actually do think technique-wise, just because Neiman and Brower have so much experience throughout the year playing that tight man-to-man, I think it's going to be tough for those receivers for Platteville, because with the way that they play offense, with the spread, they're running four and five receiver sets almost every play. They don't see a ton of man coverage. If they do, it's almost an all-out blitz from the defense, and it's always a hot route or a quick throw from the quarterback. So it's going to really be an interesting matchup to see how well those cornerbacks stay in the pocket or stay in the hips of the receivers and just don't let them get too much separation. If the corners are shutting down the wide receivers in this game for UWL, there's not a ton else Platteville can do. If you look through the stats, Sean Studer is a big play running back for Platteville, but when you really break it down, he's got a lot of 1 and 2 yard gains, and then I'll hit a 40-yard gain where, you know, the defense is really spread out because of the pass routes or because of the wide receivers. So, yes, he ends up with an average of, you know, 4.5-5 yards a carry, but it's really just that one big play that you have to worry about with a guy like him. A second matchup that I think is going to be one of the keys for Saturday's game is UWL center Bradley Schultz and his guards Oliver Vassanoia and Connor Berry. How they do against Platteville's front seven, especially the stand-up linebacker. So the way that Platteville is running their defense right now is they have usually have three down linemen, unless it's like fourth and short. We're talking just base defense. Let's say it's first and 10 for all intents and purposes here. They're running three down linemen, and then they'll have a linebacker standing up in one of the A gaps. The A gap is the gap between the center and the guard. And it really kind of opens up a couple other gaps, the B gaps between the guard and tackle for the offense. But what the Platteville defense is trying to do is it's trying to eliminate the double teams. It's trying to get a hat on a hat on offensive line to make it so every offensive lineman is accounted for, and then their linebackers can fill the gaps that are open, make plays, and keep gains to a short yardage. So it's an interesting defense to watch. You're going to be kind of watching as, like, that guy looks like he's blitzing every play, but he's almost like a down lineman. It's going to be a matchup that UWL's front three, like I mentioned, are going to have to identify what they want to consider that linebacker on that play. Because if you watch, I watched the Eau Claire game, most of it today, for Platteville. If it's a long third, let's say it's third and long, third and 15, he'll drop out. He'll become a pass coverage linebacker like any normal play. But almost every other play, you know, first and 10s and a regular situation, he's almost nose to nose with his guard and playing like a defensive tackle position. It's an interesting thing. You just kind of watch for it on Saturday here at Veterans Memorial Field. But just UWL is going to have to communicate well and just make sure that everybody on the offensive line knows how they're treating the play, because if they want to treat it like a three-man front and just go with the double teams and take their press their luck against some other things, a couple of down blocks, whatever it ends up being, as long as everybody's doing the same thing on the offensive line, this is kind of one of the tropes of offensive line play, as long as everybody does the same thing, a lot of stuff's going to work. You just can't have four guys doing one thing and a fifth guy doing another. So that's going to be a big challenge for them. But if they do it, I do think the way UWL's offensive line is playing, they've steadily improved. I actually thought they did a pretty decent job against Oshkosh. at least in the pass game, the run game not so great, but in the pass game, protecting Stramski and at least giving him a little bit of time. So just continuing to get better, at least in one aspect every single week. The one thing that that stand-up linebacker does for Platteville is it does limit what you do as an offensive line in the sense of pulling guards and some of the power plays that UWL's had some good success with this year, because with so many linemen being covered up, you get in a situation where if you pull somebody, you're basically leaving the guy unblocked. You've got to hit the play really fast. So it's an interesting thing to watch for me, just being kind of an offensive line guy, kind of finding that interesting. So just watch that stand-up linebacker and what he does and how UWL's offensive line reacts to it. If they don't let him and the other linebackers do too much from that spot, I think it's going to be a pretty good day for UWL's offensive line. The third matchup for me is Cole Speaker versus anybody. I am not high on Platteville's defensive backs. Just watching the film today, Eau Claire does not have very good receiving. They have a very good receiving core, and a lot of those guys were open. I honestly don't believe that Platteville has anybody that can beat or that can cover Cole Speaker for the whole game. He's a matchup problem for anybody, but they don't have a corner like AJ Plua at Oshkosh last week, and I just don't see somebody on the field that Cole Speaker can't win the one-on-one battle with quite a bit. The challenging part for lacrosse is going to be making sure that Cole is in those one-on-one battles, and they can do that formationally or in different situations, just making sure that he's kind of isolated and can get that one-on-one that, in theory, he wins a lot. And this is a game where you're sitting back and kind of looking at all the stats coming into it and how teams are playing everything. I just think Cole Speaker is best destined to go off one of these games. And by going off, I mean like 200 yards or two touchdowns, something like that. Another huge game out of him. I honestly think the only way that that's going to not happen is if Ben Stramski, the quarterback, has a great day just distributing the ball to everybody. And let's say Dominic Lebelarte gets in on it for 100 yards, or Devonta Amos has a great day too. So I personally think that this is a huge day for the second or for the lacrosse wide receivers. So number one guy being Cole Speaker, I think he's primed for a huge game. How that ends up playing out, we'll see. But I just think Platteville's secondary does not have a person that can match up with him confidently. And if they double-team him, then you're really playing in the lacrosse's hands of Dominic Lebelarte one-on-one and Amos and some of the other receivers too. So I think that's a definite advantage for lacrosse. They just have to go out and execute the things that they've been doing. Jumping into record watch for Jake Simunchak. Last season, we saw pretty much every week Nick Holcomb, senior wide receiver last year, shattered all those receiving yards. Every week he would put up a new single game number or get closer and closer to a record. Ended up with 20 touchdowns, 80 catches, and 1,401 yards. And yes, I just listed it off the top of my head because I typed it so many times when he was up for the Gagliardi Trophy. So this season for the record watch, Jake Simunchak, the sophomore kick returner, a guy from South Milwaukee here in Wisconsin, he's leading Division III with 866 combined kick return yards. That's 578 on kickoff and 288 on punt. Right now, he's on pace to break the school record for single-season kick return yards. He's on pace for 825, and the record is 820. That record was set by Jared Arn in 1998. The impressive thing about that is that that game or that record was set playing only 9 games, and it's still a record for even the guys that played deep into playoff runs and national championships. So you can see how special Jared Arn was that season. Simunchak is on pace for the second most punt return yards in program history for a single season. Right now he's on pace for 411. I personally think he's going to break one for 70 or 80 and maybe even higher than that. I think one of these last three games, lacrosse's punt cover or punt return is going to break one, because it's been so consistent throughout the year, getting 15 to 20 yards, or just been somebody that trips Jake up or something that pushes him out of bounds. I think one of these times it breaks free and he gets a touchdown. So watch out for that. The record for that is 599 by Matt Pekarski in 1986, where he played 12 games going into the NAIA playoffs. But, all right, wrapping it up here with the Homecoming for Heroes. UWL doing a cool event for the benefit of Freedom Honor Flight. Freedom Honor Flight, if you don't know, takes veterans of our armed services and takes them to Washington, D.C. to see the memorials for the wars that they served in, or conflicts, however you want to phrase it, that they served in. A cool program there. I know Kim Bloom works very closely with that group, the athletic director at UWL. so cool event happening there after the game. Game's going to get over about 4 o'clock. They'll do their post-game thing in the parking lot. If you've been to a game, you've seen that at UWL. But doors open will open in the Mitchell Hall Fieldhouse at about 5 o'clock, and you can buy food and drink in there. Proceeds from that, part of the proceeds from that, go to the Freedom Honor Flight. There's going to be a band, $3 and change, which actually has UWL track coach Joshua Buchholz in the band, so you can get some live free entertainment there. And then they're doing their Wall of Fame induction for Homecoming Week at 7 o'clock in Mitchell Hall. So lots of stuff to check out over at Mitchell Hall after the UWL's game. It sounds like it's going to be a little chilly, so maybe there's a chance to warm up a little bit after the game before you head on home. But that's going to do it for this week's podcast. Sorry we didn't have an interview. I'm so busy and watching the Red Sox do work and hopefully sweep the Dodgers over the weekend. Just keep sharing the podcast here on iTunes. You can share the Lacrosse Tribune link as well. You can follow me on Twitter at CBartDizzle. I'm going to tease this again. Eventually this season, we've got like probably 6 podcasts left. Eventually this season, I'm going to tell you the origin of that name. Everything that we do here at the Tribune on lacrossetribune.com, all our prep stuff, definitely some high-profile action, 5 prep games in the playoffs this week. UWL soccer team's on fire. You can read up on that on UWL or on lacrossetribune.com as well. But other than that, we will see you on Saturday for the Platteville game, 1 o'clock at UWL. Thanks for listening, and we will be back Sunday with a recap podcast, which I think is going to be a positive one. We will see. Thanks for listening.